What I wanted to begin with today is a little bit something that really belongs to yesterday's parsha, to Chayei Sarah. But nevertheless, you know, considering that Chayei Sarah is the parsha of marriage, and it seems like marriage is in the air these days, so we'll take a look at a Tosis in Masechta Ksubos. Let me just give you a little background. The Gemara Masechta Ksubos is addressing the halacha of Sheva Brachas, and it's looking high and low for a source in Tanakh for Sheva Brachas. And the Gemara stretches its arm out to Megillas Rus, and there the Torah, the Tanakh tells us that Boaz, when he married Rus, he got together 10 people, and it says that they blessed Rus, and that blessing is what we call Sheva Brachas. Now, Tosis quotes what's called the Masechta Kala, which is a brisa, to accommodate a collection, an anthology of brisos, and that Masechta Kala, that Tosefta, derives the halach of Sheva Brachas from this week's parasha, meaning from Parshas Chayei Sarah. Ready? We're up to Parshas Toldos, but we're still filling in a little bit on Parshas Chayei Sarah. And believe it or not, I hope to start Parshas Toldos again. Jeremy, I don't know how long you can stay, but whenever you have to go, you know the rule. Okay, then. What does the Masechta Kala tell us? It says that after Eliezer received Rivka from the house of Basul and Lavan, and they sent her on the way, it says Vayivarchu es Rivka. They blessed Rivka. It means that this was Sheva Brachas. Now, does the Braisa really mean to derive Sheva Brachas? Sheva Brachas is part of what? It's after Nisuin. And she wasn't married yet, Lechora, right? The simple, again, Tosis is going to vacillate on this point, but at first glance, I would say that any bracha that might have been recited at this point, it's too early for Birchas Nisuin, for Sheva Brachas. It could have been Birchas Erisin, because at that point there was Erisin. So Tosis says, Ikal and Meimar, what the Braisa really has in mind, the Hasam Birchas Erisin, that we need both. We need both the Pasuk Vayivarchus Rivka and the Pasuk Vayikath Boaz Asora Noshem Yanshe Amokom. In the case of Vayivarchus Rivka, we're talking about Birchas Erisin. This is way before the Nesuin, way before the Chuppah. But here, in the case of the Gemara in Ksuvas Dav Zayin Amid Beis, where we talk about Boaz, we're talking about Birchas Nesuin. Okay, let's put a period here and now press the return button. Now we start a new paragraph. Tosfos says, wait a second. Are we going to say that Rivka is the parsha Birchas Erisin? That's a little bit strange, because where's Yitzchak? Yitzchak's not here. How could it possibly be that Yitzchak is marrying Rivka if he's not even here? And what's the answer to that, Rabbi Osai?
Shliach,
exactly. Yesh lomo misham, sheyesh levarach birchas erisin leisha miskadeshes al yidei shliach. And here Tosis raises vacillates on the following point. Let's say Ruvain sends Shimon to Makadesh Leah. Who makes the brach on the erisin? Should it be Ruvain himself, or it should be the shliach Shimon? Well, in this case of Eliezer, Yitzchak is not around. And if at that point, Vayivarchu es Rivka, meaning regarding Rivka, they recited the brachas, then who is reciting the brachas?
Rabbi.
You're not with me. I need an answer before I get a question, Geshe. One second. We're deriving Birchas Erisin from the brachas that were recited when Rivka was given over to Eliezer to bring back Rivka to Yitzchak. But how could the Erisin take place? So we answered that question, and we said, of course, the Erisin is through the proxy, through the agency of a shliach. Who's the shliach here?
Eliezer.
So far, so good. But now I ask you the following question. I don't know, in a case of shlichus, who should be reciting the bracha. What do I prove from this sugya, the Masechta Kala, I should say, and Tosis? Who makes the bracha? Well, no. Again, we're assuming now Vayavarchu es Rivka means about Rivka. Again, that's a little bit difficult, you're right. But regarding Rivka, the brachos were recited. Which brachos? Tosfos says Birchas Eirusin. But I'm just pointing out that this would prove one way or the other who makes Birchas Eirusin. Is it the Mishalech who sent the Shliach? He's the Mekadesh himself, or is it the Shliach?
It's got to be the Shliach.
It's got to be the Shliach. Yesh Lilmod Misham. We could derive from this Brisa in Masech Tekala a halachic conclusion. She yesh levarach birchas erisin leisha miskadeshes al yedei ha-shliach. Shari Eliezer shliach haya. Eliezer was the shliach. And birchas erisin were recited at the time that the shliach fulfilled his agency, implemented his shlichus. So we see here that even when you send the shliach, the shul should be birchas erisin. In other words, Tosfos is rejecting a havamina that maybe Birchas Eirusin is limited to the Mekadesh. And if he's Mekadesh through a Shliach, the Shliach cannot make the Birchas Eirusin. He's only doing the action, but he's not really fulfilling the mitzvah. No, we see from this Braisa in Masech Tekala that Vayavarchu Esrivka means that Eliezer made the Brachas of Eirusin. It means that the Shliach makes the Brach of Eirusin. Yeah, Gershon?
The shliach, from my understanding of the Chumash, is that Avraham Avinu was the mishaleach.
I know what you're saying here. Okay, we're going to get to that in a few minutes, but let me just formulate your question. The mishaleach is always the Mekadesh. And Gershon is asking, in this case, it's very odd, because Yitzchak doesn't seem to have been involved at all in sending Eliezer. Okay, so that's an issue we're going to get to very shortly. V'nira, Tos says at the end, V'diasmachta bi'almohi, V'diasora lo mishtamea mehosam, V'lo airi pashti dekrab, Birchas Eirusin. This is more or less what Dr. Joel was saying before, that it seems like Besuel and Lavan were reciting these brachas. Atehi, what does it say, the alofek, this... And now we're saying, no, Eliezer was reciting these brachas. So he says the whole thing is an asmachta, meaning it's not really a derivation. This is not what we call a yalfusa gemura, but rather, this is something that we should remember. Al derech remez, that the brachas that were recited were birchas erusin. And he says that it has to be an asmachta. It can't be taken seriously, because there were no 10 people there that could have been... a minion, you know what I'm saying? There were a couple of idol worshippers, but there was no minion. Okay. Now we get to another problem. We've dealt with the problem of Eliezer as a shliach and his reciting perhaps the bracha, or maybe he didn't recite the brachas. And this is all Birchas Eirus. But now we have another problem. How many times, I'm just saying this, how many times did Yitzchak see Rivka before this marriage took place?
None.
Zero. Zippo. And that's in violation of another principle in Halacha, which is codified in the Gemara at the beginning of the second parak of Kiddushin, the Omer Rabbi Yudim Arav, Osur li Adam Sheikadishas Isha Ad Sheir Ena. You're not allowed to marry a woman until you see her. So if I saw a woman, I could send a shliach to be Mekadeshar on my behalf, but at least I saw her once. And the reason for this Isser is because Shema Yireh Badavar Meguna, maybe at the end when he sees her, he sees that, you know, she has certain blemishes and certain physical difficulties and so forth, V'tisgana Olav, and she becomes sort of despicable in his eyes. And Rachman Omer V'Aftal Reich Kamocha. You know, we want to lead to love, not to the opposite. So this is going to be the Marsha's cash over here. You know, Avraham Avinu is sending Eliezer to get a wife for Yitzchak, but Yitzchak has never met this woman, never laid eyes on her. How could he mekadesh a woman which he never saw in violation of the principle of Rabbi Yehuda Merav? Now again, you might argue, well, this is before the Torah was given, but we're assuming now that Chazal say it over and over again, and it's all over Rishonim and Achronim. Nobody ever questions this principle that Avraham Avinu was Mekayim the entire Torah before it was given. So how could he violate this Isser and allow Yitzchak to be married to a woman that he never saw? Okay. Now we have a Gemara in Baba Basra. And the Gemara Baba Basra says that that the pasuk says Hineinu yadati ki isha yafas mara. Do you remember when Avraham Avinu is taking Sarah down to Mitzrayim? It says that Avraham Avinu looked at Sarah and he noticed something. It was a chiddush to him. What did he notice about Sarah?
That she was beautiful.
That she was beautiful.
After many years of marriage.
Right. So what's going on over here? Does it mean that Avraham Avinu never saw Sarah? Hineinu yadati. Very strange. Michlal, the Gemara says to be Karolav Yadalit.
What's this?
So the Gemara says in Baba Basra that Hineinu yadati. Right now I know that you're beautiful. So the Gemara says that Mikar until this point he didn't know she was beautiful. So the Marsha there in the Gemara in Baba Basra asks the question, Hech lo haya mistakel Avram b'sar me'olam. How could it be possible that Avram never was aware of Sarah's beauty? The Gemara says in Baba Basra that he never knew about it. Hine yo yodati that michlal di meikara lo aviyodale. I harei amru b'perik beis the kedushin osel yodav shikadi shisat shirena. You're not allowed to marry a woman until you see her. So he must have seen her, and if he saw her, then he was aware of her beauty. And if he's aware of her beauty, how could the Gemara say, no, only now he realized that she was beautiful? The Eish Lomar, and therefore the Marsha is so pressed by this question, how could Avram undermine the law that you have to see a woman before you marry her? It must be that he did see her. Vaday ra osa, he certainly saw her before he married her. But he says, what happened after he married her? And he says, the achar shahoisa nesuolo, after they were married, then lo ra osa mitoch tzniusa. That although he may have seen her, but he couldn't be aware of her beauty because she was very tzanua. And any part of her body that might have attracted attention and indicated how attractive she was, all this was somehow covered. And after all these years, Avram figured, look, she's no youngster anymore. She's no spring chicken, as we would say. Is for sure lo amda biyafya biziknusa. She certainly doesn't look as beautiful as what I remember her before I married her. None of this seems to have bothered Avram Avinu. But since because of Hatznias, he couldn't look at her and really observe and behold how beautiful she was, but now that they were coming into a little bit of a danger zone, he had to become aware, and this was critical for him to become aware of what she looked like, and to his surprise, Ata, he says, Hineinu yadati ki isha yafas, that you still are an isha yafas mara. You still retained your beauty despite Zikness. And this is what Chazal say, Rashi says at the beginning of Parashas Chayisara, that she was Bas Chof Kibas Zayin V'yofya, that even though she was older in years, apparently in those days a 20-year-old was already much more mature, but nevertheless she still retained the beauty of a young girl. And this is what Avram Avinu finds out, that she retained her beauty despite her advanced years. And therefore, he was very nervous about taking her down to amongst the idol worshippers who are immoral and so forth and so on. But certainly, says the Marsha, there's no question that Avraham Avinu saw Sarah before he married. Again, how this kicks in the case of Yitzhak and Rivka, that's what we want to discuss, because Lechori Yitzhak never laid eyes on Rivka. And if we assume, like Tosfos assumes that we started with, that Eliezer was a shliach le'Erison, how could Yitzchak point to shliach or Avram on behalf of Yitzchak, whatever it might be, to be Makadish and Isha?
Tell a story about the Lagachov that he was married to a very elderly woman, and on Purim a guy got a little shikr, and he said, "But how could you marry such a woman?" Says Usher, "Love and Sharaji, you're Anna." And he said, "The house was very tzniua, and I saw her. She was ugly, but I thought all women looked that way."
Very good. Okay, now I want to share with you an insight of the Das Kedem Mibali HaTosfos here in our parasha. It says over there that when Eliezer was sent on his agency by Avram Avinu said, this is the precondition, you know, don't I don't want a situation where my son Yitzhak will live over there. The pasuk says, "Rakes b'ni lo teshev shama." You know, my son should not settle over there in Aram Naharaim amongst the idol worshippers. Heaven forbid that that would happen. So the Das Kanim says that the word teshev comes from the shoresh, from the root of lush lehashiv. Lehashiv means to return. Like we're learning now in Hilchos Shabbos, the laws of chazara, which means when you return the pot onto the fire. So it was there before, and you're replacing it back to where it was before. So the Das Kanim has a problem here, because afal pishami olam lo balashav, Yitzchak never even came to Aram Naharaim. So how can you say shiva? You know, don't bring him back to Aram Naharaim. He was never there to begin with. He says, "Ibnei Eliezer, shaya holech imo, velo yeshiva gemurah shekfar hayo l'sham." What happens over here? The fear is that Eliezer is going to go to Aram Naharaim, find a woman, a marriage partner for Yitzchak. He's going to go back to Yitzchak. And Avram Avinu is afraid that he's going to take Yitzchak back to Aram Naharaim. So when the pasuk says lo teshev, meaning that you shouldn't bring him back, it's referring to Eliezer. That Eliezer is the one who's going to have to go back a second time. And that's something that Avram Avinu could not tolerate. V'chein, we find something similar, Berus Hamoeviyah, Hashava im Naomi Mistei Moav. The pasuk says in the second chapter of Rus, Hashava, that she went back from Stei Moav to Eretz Canaan with Naomi. And it doesn't make any sense, because as far as we know, Rus was never ever in Eretz Canaan. So how can you say Hashava, that she's returning to Eretz Canaan? Afal pisha Rus lo haisa me'olam l'sham. Nevertheless, kori oso lashon shiva mipnei Naomi ha'oleches ima. Naomi was returning to Eretz Yisrael. So when it says Hashava im Naomi, it means she would go back with Naomi, who is going back. And here too, Eliezer would take Yitzchak back to Aram Naharaim. And now you didn't get this, Yudi? I'm sorry, I apologize. You got one now?
Yeah.
If not, we can make some more copies. Here we have a guest that I didn't provide him with a copy. That's not nice.
Okay.
Yeah, I left the copies on the back table there. But anyway, so Eliezer is now going to accompany Yitzchak back to Aram Naharaim, if that's the deal, because Rivka is not willing to leave. And that's called Toshev Shama, because since, as far as Eliezer is concerned, it's going back. Therefore, the pasuk uses that term, going back, even as far as Yitzchak is concerned. Just like in the case of Rus, the Torah says going back to Eretz Canaan, really it's referring to Naomi, who's going back to Eretz Canaan. Okay, now we get to the laws of Shlichus. The Torah writes in Eben Ezer, Siman Lamed Hei, that a man can set up a shliach to be Mekadosh and Isha on his behalf, and he has two options. He can either say to the shliach, find me a woman, unspecified, unnamed, or Isha Plonis, an identified, special, singular woman. The Yomar Lo HaShliach, the shliach should say the following language to the woman, Hamis Kadeshes, Hare At Mekudeshes LePloni. So all this is possible, is feasible. But here the Torah does not recommend under all circumstances that you avail yourself of shlichus. The perfect situation, if all things are equal, ideally, is that he should come and be mekadosh himself. Why? Because also lekadosh al yidei shliach elam kein makira. Unless he recognizes, he's met her and he's familiar with her, he's not allowed to be mekadosh or shliach. Maybe he'll find out that she's not too attractive, and then she'll become repulsive to him. So the Beis Yosef, Rav Yosef Cairo, is the super commentary on the tour. He's medayik in the Lashon HaTur. He says the tour is saying, Avolim efshalo lekadosha biatzmo, if he has the possibility, if he has access to a train or a plane or a bus, and he can now come and personally be Mekadosh her, then He's not allowed to be Mekadesh through a shliach because he never met the girl. Dikdek Rabbeinu lichtov him efshal olakad shabiatzmo lomar. What's the chiddush here? Deim efshar could go and shehi b'makom rach shahu, or could be he b'makom rachok mimeno. Well, who b'makom rachok mimeno? I efshal olelech limakoma. You know, there's all, Amtrak is not traveling, you know, across the United States at this point. Lir osa omishum kvoda basmel pnima. Is ein adam yachalur osa, despite the fact that he won't be able to see her, but nevertheless he shouldn't forfeit this opportunity to marry her through a shliach. So he has, there's no way he can get to her. He has no access to see her. So again, let's review. When does the Torah say you're not allowed to be mekadesh anisha if you don't see her? That's efshal lekadesh biatzmo. He could possibly be mekadesh personally b'chvodo v'atzmo, but says the Beis Yosef, apparently if he could not, there's no way he can get to her, then he should be mekadesh even though he never saw her. And therefore, Bishvil said, even though now he won't be able to see her even one time before the marriage, lo amru asur, they wouldn't prohibit you, they don't want you to give up on the shidduch, take advantage of the opportunity. If you have a possibility of going yourself, don't send the shliach when you could go yourself. This might help us for what question? For Yitzchak. Because again, in the case of Yitzchak, he never saw Rivka, how can he marry her? So the answer might be, again, we have to polish it up a little bit, that Yitzchak had no possibility of getting to see Rivka.
He couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael.
He couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. Excellent. He was an Ola Tmimai after the Akedah.
They could have given Rivka the all-expense-day trip to tonight.
Well, but the thing is, you know, I guess, Dr. Joe, we were lucky that some miracle happened and Eliezer was able to get the permission to take her from Beis Pesul and Beis Lavan. So to ask him to send her on a trip, you know, just for the possibility of being chosen, that wasn't a feasible possibility. So the Beis Shmuel, that's a super commentary on Evan Ezer. We're looking in Sima Lamed Hey. He writes, Yochel Laso Shliach Lechatchila Ein Laso Shliach Lekadish Stam. One thing you should avoid in any set of circumstances, and that is to be Mekadish Stam. You can send a Shliach to be Mekadish Stam, meaning an unidentified, unspecified woman. Find me a woman out there. But that's something that should be avoided at all costs. And we'll soon see why. Does anybody know why? It's a sugya in a few places in Shas, in Masechta Nazir, and other. What's the problem here? Although again, technically the shlichus would be valid, but you're not allowed to do such a thing. To send the shliach and say, find me a woman.
It could be any woman in the world.
And what happens if the shliach dies, let's say?
Then
we're in trouble, because he didn't tell us which woman he was mekadesh. So now, this man, the mishaleach who sent the shliach, is married to somebody. We have no clue who she is. So the Gemara is going to tell us that any woman he wants to marry might be the sister of his wife. And he'll be violating an Isra Arayas, Isra Erva of Achos Ishto. I mean, any Erva could be. It doesn't have to be Achos Ishto. And in the light of this discussion, that Eliezer was sent against this halacha, apparently, that's what we're going to have to reconcile it, but he was sent in this general mission to find a girl for Yitzchak, but it was unspecified. In that context, we could begin to understand why Lavan was the worst threat to Klal Yisrael in the world. As we say in the Haggadah, Seyu lamad, ma bikesh lovan arami lasos liyaku avinu, paro lo gozer el al eschorin. The lovan bikesh lakar esakol. Paro only wanted to destroy the males, and lovan wanted to destroy the entire Klal Yisrael. And that's what we say at the beginning, according to some at least, at the beginning of
the
Magid part of the Haggadah. Arami Oved Oved is a pasuk in Parshas Kitavo, right? It says Arami Oved Oved. Now this Arami is Lavan Arami, according to many Mefarshim. And if it's Lavan Arami, then what does it mean Oved Oved? Oved Oved means he was destroying my father. Oved means he was out to destroy my father. So what's this all about? So Rav Zevin, in his famous work, which I actually have on the table, except that I gave it to Alan to photocopy for the next class that I'm giving, Rav Zevin wrote a book called Mo'adim B'Halacha, and there he has sections on the Haggadah in that magnum opus. It's a beautiful, beautiful work. And he has a Haggadah from Rav Mordechai Yoffa, who quotes a Gemara in, again, this Gemara is in a number of places, in Nazir and Gittin. Ha'omer l'shlucho tseva kadish li'isha. Go out and marry a woman for me. Find me a woman. He doesn't tell you who the woman is. Any woman you find, I'm relying on you. You have good taste. So he says, Umeis ha-shliach, nebuch l'shliach et gishtarbu, is osur b'chol anoshim shabolam. The Meshaleh cannot marry anyone. Not one woman. Why? Because on the one hand, chazaka shliach shal osa shlichusa. We definitely assume that the shliach fulfilled the shlichus. But again, he died. V'shema. And we have to be afraid that anytime he wants to marry anyone, Zoe Krovas Arusaso, it might be a relative of the woman who's married to him, that the shliach was Makadish on his behalf, and he doesn't know it, unbeknown to him. He's marrying his wife's sister, and he's violating an Issa Kares. Ubiemes, Eliezer Hoya Hashliach L'Kedusha Yitzchak. Tosus, as we started with today, is of the opinion that Eliezer had the status of a shliach, full-fledged shlichus, except to Bekadish who? Unspecified.
But it wasn't really unspecified. He said,
why is based
on the, I mean, he gave the certain parameters. So
correct.
All kinds of the shliach is...
Correct, but maybe there were other sisters, I don't know, you have to know. It's a good point, Herb, I don't know. In any event, let's now swing back to Rami Ovidovi. What happens now? Chazal tell us that they tried to knock off Eliezer. Do you remember this? They actually put poison in his food. We discussed it last week. Then the Malach came and he switched the portions. But in their intention, in their scheme of things, they wanted to poison and kill Eliezer. And if that be the case, had Eliezer died, Yitzchak would not be allowed to marry anyone, because any woman that he wants to marry might be an Erevah, might be his wife's sister. And therefore, with regard to the plan of Lavan, is Bikesh Lakar Sakol. He's really undermining the entire Jewish community. Because Yitzchak, I'll be with you in a second, Keresh, let me just get the calculation in. Yitzchak would not be allowed to marry anyone according to this sugya. Why? Because it's a case of a shliach who was sent without a specification, and therefore he could marry theoretically anyone, and Yitzchak therefore can't marry anyone. Yeah, Gershon?
You know, answer my question actually, Rabbi, but all these years, you know, what we know what Lavan actually did to Yaakov, how he cheated him in many ways, but the uprooting, Yaakov Avinu would not have even been born because Yitzchak couldn't have married anybody in the
right
world. That would have been
Sefer Devar. And not only that, it could be that at the time that Lavan wanted to kill Yaakov, if you go with that shot, then at least the Shvatim were already
right,
so Klal Yisrael would have continued. But here, Yitzchak has no possibility of marrying at all, and therefore it's Bikesh Lakar Asakol. So I call this to your attention because I think it's a fascinating twist on this whole discussion of Tosfos that Eliezer was a shliach. If Eliezer was the shliach to marry off a woman on behalf of Yitzchak, then we could begin to shed a new light on why Lavan is considered Bikesh love on Lakar Asakol.
This is a Bam Kash that he asked. He could marry Eliezer's daughter. He could marry anyone from Canaan. Wasn't
right. That's what Herb was pointing out, that there was certain limitations.
That's the whole question out here.
Right. Okay. But it's, I just wanted to call your attention. It's a very, it's pedantic. It's a very sharp kind of shot in the new insight into Bikesh Lavan Arami Lakar Asakol.
Where is it? What is the halacha if the shliach mekadesh the woman?
Yeah.
In city A, and he's in city B.
He meaning the Mishaleach?
The Mishaleach is in one city,
right,
and the Shliach is in a
different city.
A different country. Where is the chuppah is what determines the marriage?
Well, no, the chuppah will determine the nisuin, and the Erisin is already clinched the moment that she receives from the Shliach the Kesef Kiddush.
Right.
So, for example, the Nizmei you know, the Shnei Nizomim that Eliezer bestowed upon Rivka, that's right. Kesef Kiddushin. Right. At that moment, she becomes an Arusa. No, it's Kiddushin is Chal. So, and then the Chuppah will take place later on. When
is the Alocha of Shnei Achis, it's only Minan Nesuin?
No, it's Minan Erisin. You know, once she's an Eshesish, then her sister becomes... Achios. I mean, I gave you the example of Achos, but it's really, it could be Emo, it could be any number of relatives. Now the Shulchan Aruch in the same Simon says, Hakol Ksherim L'Shlichus Kedushin Chutz Micheir Shalt V'Katan. And the Shulchan Aruch goes on to say that an Eved is also not able to be a Shliach L'Kiddushin because Eina B'Torah is getting the Kiddushin. So, L'Chora, the whole discussion of Tosus here, it doesn't get off the ground. Tosus wants to suggest that the brachos that were recited at the time that Rivka was given over to Eliezer were Birchas Erisin because Eliezer was serving the role as a Shliach Kiddushin. But how could Eliezer be a Shliach if he's an Eved? And the one who asked this question is Maril Diskin. You know, he was the Rav in Brisk way back when. And he says that the Pasuk describes, and we mentioned it last week, that Eliezer refused to eat until Ashad Ibarti Dvorai. And he says the following. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Gittin, and that was the Pasuk that we saw in the Shulchan Aruch in Ebenezer, that an Eved cannot serve as a Shliach to be Mekabel a Get. He cannot serve at all in any capacity as a Shliach B'Torah. He's Eino B'Torah Gittin V'Kiddush. Oh, if that be the case, then since we know that the Ovos were Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula, and Eliezer was an Eved, so we turn to the other side. So what's going to be? The only way he could justify that Eliezer would serve as a Shliach on behalf for Kiddushin is only if Avram would be Meshachrer his Eved. He would have to grant him freedom. And Tosus says that Eliezer was indeed the shliach for the Erisin. Vitzarach Lomer in the second patch, Avram Ayim Meshacher also. Avram would have freed Eliezer, Leos Ben Chorin, Koron HaKedushin. He says, but wait a minute, that's a violation of an essay. The Gemara says that Avram Avinu was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula before it was given. There's an essay of Lo'olo Bahem Tavodu, which enjoins a person, a master, from freeing his Eved Knani. We're talking about an Eved Knani. Achen Yesh Lomar, he says that the Gemara in Gittin describes and addresses the situation of a Chetzio Eved, Chetzio Ben Chorin. And in such a case, it's impossible for the Eved, even though he has a half that's Ben Chorin, to be Makayim the Mitzvah Piri of Arivya. He cannot have children. Why? Because if he marries a Jewish girl, then he violates the Isur Kedesha with regard to the half of Avdu Shebo. And on the other hand, you know, he can't marry a non-Jewish woman because he's a half Ben Chorin. So he's in a no-win situation. He's a half Eved, half Ben Chorin. There's no one who he could marry. So what do we do in this case? The Gemara says, Kofinus Rabo will beat the living daylights out of his master to force him, Lasoso Ben Chorin, to give him a get shichur and redeem him and free him from slavery. Ah, you'll ask the question, Amashachar Avdo Over Be'esei, we are enjoined from freeing our Eved Knani. The answer is, Mishra Mitzvah, for the sake of this great mitzvah, Loto, Bra, God did not create the world that it should be unpopulated, it should be desolate of people, but rather for the sake of populating the earth. And for the sake of that great mitzvah, period of Arivia, of procreation, we're going to allow and overlook the Isur of Meshachar Avdo. And here also, in the case of Avram, Nidche mitzvahs esei delolabem tavodim chiyuv mitzvahs asei de period of Arivia de Yitzchak. Basically, the thesis of Ariel Diskin is that Yitzchak has this unbelievable and maybe exclusive, once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to marry a woman and fulfill the mitzvah period of Arivia. We can't give up on this opportunity. What's at stake here? Avram Avinu could appoint Eliezer as the shliach, but that's only at first. He what? He frees him, he's meshacher him, and violates the Isur Essay. And that would facilitate the ability of Yitzchak to marry and have children. If on the other hand, you know, he insists, Avraham Avinu, I can't be Meshach my Eved because of this essay. Yitzchak will never get married. He'll never be able to procreate. So for the sake of the great mitzvah, period of Arivia, Avraham Avinu allowed, he delivered a get shichra to Eliezer. Aval afizet tzarech lomar d'Avraham af Avraham Avinu lav sham hayu meshachar also al tanai. Very interesting. Avraham Avinu freed his Eved Eliezer al tanai, and he said, you know, if she'll receive your shlichus, your kiddushin, fine. Then my shichur is valid, and you were not an Eved but a Ben Choron, and therefore you could serve as a shliach. Shim lokein loya safeg motzi midei vaday. The efshol tisratzel lekabel kiddushin via over mitzasei dilion bem ta'avod mitzasei din piri of arivya lo higiv. So the Mariel Diskin adds a chiddush over here that unless you insist that Avraham Avinu in this shukra made a tnai, then you're in trouble, because if, as a matter of fact, she, Rivka, would not agree to be married to Yitzhak, etc., then what happens is that Avraham Avinu basically freed his Eved for naught, in vain. There was no reason and no rhyme and no success in this shichur, and therefore Avraham Avinu violated the Isser of Le'olam Bahem Ta'avod. But if, on the other hand, he made it tonight, so even in the worst case scenario, if Rivka wouldn't agree to come back and marry Yitzchak, nevertheless, the shichur would not be valid, and if the shichur is not valid, Avraham Avinu did not violate the Isser of Le'olam Bahem Ta'avod.
Shvarim have a very interesting insight which relates to this, that the whole time it says Eved Avraham, and then when they're discussing the marriage, all of a sudden it doesn't use the word Eved Avraham.
Comes an Ish.
It's Ish.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time on this last week. I don't know if you were here, the Rabbeinu Bechai.
Yeah. When he finishes, it comes back to Eved Avraham.
Right, once he finishes his shlichus, then he's back to becoming Eved Avraham.
Sorry.
No, it's good.
So is it trying to say that the status was different based on the fact that Avraham Avinu prepares him in such a way with the star and everything, he's getting ready and telling...
His status was that of a Ben Choron, is that what you mean?
I mean, he's actually,
being
in the whole thing.
He's Mamish Ben Choron. Basically, what Avraham Avinu gave Eliezer was two things. He gave him, number one, a get shichur. Okay, we'll get back to the Tanai in a second, a get shichur. And number two, he gave him Kesef Kiddusha. He gave him a get shichur, so now Eliezer no longer has the status of an Eved and he can serve as a shliach. He gave him Kesef Kiddusha because the shliach has to bring Kesef Kiddusha from Kaddish and Isha. Comes along Marel Diskin, and he's Mekadish two Chidush. Number one, this whole process can only be meaningful if Avraham indeed gave Eliezer a get shichur, because otherwise an Eved cannot serve as a shliach for getting the Kiddush, he's Eino Vitoras. And the second Chidush Mariel Briskin is that we have to add a Tanai into the picture. He didn't give the Eved an absolute unconditional shichur. If he would have unconditionally said, you're a Meshuchrar, then Avraham Avinu runs the risk of violating the Iser essay of Le'olam Bahem Ta'avodu, because that Iser enjoins one from being Meshachar as Eved. So if he's doing it for the sake of Piri Merivya, and it's going to work out that well, fine. But if, on the other hand, she refuses to go, there's no Havavina here, Piri Merivya, then Avraham Avinu, you just violated the essay. So the answer is, he makes it tonight. And he says the following. If she'll accept the Kiddushin, then fine. This get shichur is valid, and for the sake of Piri Rivya, it was permissible. If she doesn't accept the get shichur, I'm sorry, if she doesn't accept the Kiddushin, then the get shichur is invalid. And that was the tonight he made. And therefore he doesn't violate the Isser of Le'olam Bahem Ta'avod. Now, Gershon was here a few minutes ago. I guess he had to go, but he asked the question which we're about to answer now. So you'll all be my shliach. Oh, he's back.
He's back.
Great. Just in time, Gershon. Because now we're getting to your question from before. You asked before, wait a second. If this is this whole operation here with Eliezer and Rivka is through shlichus, well, the mishaleach is Yitzhak, not Avraham Avinu. So we have to take a look at a Gemara in Masech the Kiddushin. You'll see it as number 11 on the bottom right. It says, V'dilma artsuye artse kameh. Okay, what happened over here? The Gemara brings a brisa, in the story in the brisa, a father was mekadesh an isha on behalf of his own son. Now, normally, there's no such thing as what we call zochin liodim shel b'fanim in the case of marriage, meaning, unless you're appointed expressly, explicitly as a shliach, you can't jump ahead and say, well, this is a really great chap, a great catch for my son, or whatever. How can you appoint, there's no such thing as a self-appointed shliach. So the Gemara says to explain that brisa and the hechatimts over there, the case there where the father indeed received, or actually gave kiddushin to a certain woman who accepted the kiddushin on behalf of her son, even though her son never appointed the father as a shliach. So he answers, Dilma artsuye artse kameh. What does that mean? The son came to his father on one bright morning and he said, Dad, there's a wonderful girl out there. I wish I could marry her. She's tops. She's the best shidduch you can even in the whole market. She's number one. That's called artsuye artse kameh. So the father hears this and he appoints himself, so to speak, as a shliach, and he goes and he's mekadesh that isha. So the Gemara says, in such a case, because the son had explicitly expressed his desire to marry that woman, therefore the father could serve as a shliach, even though the son never technically appointed him as a shliach. That's the Gemara in Kiddushin. Rashi explains, Ben Kamei Aviv, the son in front of his father, Gil Odaito, he revealed his will, Shu Chafetz Ba, how much he wants to marry her, Va'av Nasa Lo Shliach Me'elov. And the father becomes now a Shliach automatically. Vizach the Adam Shalom B'Fanav. And now we can apply the principle of Zach the Adam Shalom B'Fanav, meaning when the father encounters this woman, he becomes a self appointed Shliach. And why? Because since the son had previously expressed his desire to marry this woman, therefore it becomes a zchus, it becomes a positive gain for the son to be married to this woman. And the Ketzos is very famous for saying, Mashma mizeh dafilu odom acher. It doesn't. Rashi says it's operating midin zoch liyodim shel b'fanav. That principle is not limited to a father for a son. Do you follow? You might have said, well, we cannot extrapolate from this Gemara that any time a person wants to marry a girl and he indicates so, anybody in the room who hears this can go out and be a shliach. Right? Yeah, how can you derive that conclusion? We're talking about Ben, we're talking about a son, Kamei Aviv, in the presence of his father. Says the Ketzos, no. It has nothing to do with the presence of his father. Anybody could be appointed a self-appointed shliach on his behalf. Once he reveals his das, that he'd be thrilled to marry her, if only possibly could, that anyone could do the shlichus and serve as his shliach. And the Ketzos says that the Arzarua quotes this halach in the name of Rabbeinu Simcha, Shafilu Inish Di Alma Nami. Anybody off the street can become a shliach. And this becomes critical because, in essence, who is appointing Eliezer as a shliach? If we go back to Tosfos Ksuvos that we started with, well, who's got to appoint him? Yitzchak, right? Because Yitzchak is the one who's marrying this woman. And yet we don't find that Yitzchak appointed Eliezer as a shliach. All we find is that Avraham appointed him as a shliach. So how could this appointment of Eliezer as a shliach be meaningful if Yitzchak is totally unaware of it? He's now, you know, right? So when we spoke about, well, he never saw her, so how could he marry her without seeing her? So then we said, well, it was low efshar. There was no way that he could see her, and they weren't willing to ship her off on the next train. But when it comes to the question of how Eliezer could serve as a shliach, I grant you that Avraham Avinu appointed him as a shliach. I'll grant you that he was meshacher him, so he's no longer an eved. But Yitzchak is totally out of the picture over here, and he's got to appoint Eliezer as a shliach. The answer is, it's got to be artsuye artse kameh. In other words, we can apply the principle of zach and the other shalom b'fanav to justify Eliezer's status as a shliach. And marrying Rivka is a schus, is a very great benefit on behalf of Yitzchak. And the reason for that is because Yitzchak himself indicated how eager he is to marry. Again, you might say, well, he never specified that woman, meaning Rivka. but the qualifications and the requirements that he had were met by Rivka. And that's exactly what Eliezer was trying to accomplish here. So once Eliezer became aware of the fact that this was the girl, this was the one and only, there was no other girl on the face of the earth who could match up to her, and she was the one to marry Yitzchak, at that point, Zoch and the other Shlomo Fanim. Eliezer becomes a self-appointed shliach, again, if you assume that he had received a get shikhar from Avraham Avinu, and he was already a ben chor. There's a Gemara about Metziah, Perek Elu Metziah, which is very famous, and establishes this principle of Artsuye Artse. And what do I mean? Yitzchak actually sees Rivka for the first time after the shlichus was already fulfilled, right? So you have in scenario, you have three, you know, T1, T2, T3. By the time T1, Avraham Avinu appoints Eliezer as a shliach. And now we've added that he was Meshacher Himal Tanai. Time T2, Eliezer fulfills the shliach, he's Makadesh Rivka on behalf of Yitzchak. At time T3, Yitzchak sees Rivka for the first time. Vayikach Oso Ohel El Sara Imo, he takes her into his Ohel, Vayavel. And he's really excited about this marriage. But that's not the case of Artsuye Artsi. The case of Artsuye Artsi is where the son was Megaladas when? Before the marriage took place. Here it's already after the marriage. So for this we need a famous sugya in Masechet Bava Metzi in the second parak. It's called, the name of the sugya on the, you know, in the yeshiva world is called Klach Eitzel Yofos. What's Klach Eitzel Yofos? A man sends a shliach to be mafresh truma on his behalf. The paradigm case of shlichus is truma. And he doesn't specify which of the fruits or the grains he should give to the Kohen, which he should be mafresh on. And not only that, he doesn't even tell him how much, because the law is that according to the Torah, one chita, one kernel of wheat, patters him up for the entire amount. There is no shear. So the Gemara describes the case where the shliach went down and he saw that there were three categories in terms of their quality. Excellent. Three qualities of grains. He saw that there were the ziburis, those were the low, you know, they were half rotten or whatever. Then there were the idiots, the best, those were expensive. And then there was the betanis in the middle. So the shliach went in, he said, look, I don't know what the mshalech wants me to do in this case, right? The mshalech is back there and I'm here on, you know, on the, at the silo. So what should I do? So he was mafresh beinonis. He said, you know, let's cut my losses, and he's not such a stingy guy. He'll probably want to give a little bit better quality, but he doesn't go. Then the balabayas comes back and he says to the shliach, klach lechay tzal yofos. Meaning, from my part, you could have taken the best quality. So the Gemara says that what that means is that he's really expressing his satisfaction. He's very happy that the shliach fulfilled the shlichus and the Kohen was given his due and the mitzvah was fulfilled. And from his part, he couldn't even give it the innis, the best of the best. So you see from this Gemara that there's such a thing called gili das liachar ha-maisa. Normally, when we say Zoch and the Olam Shlomo Fanav, we have to know at the time that the shlichus was being implemented that it was a schus for him. And if we have no clue, because we don't know, then it can't be Zoch and the Olam Shlomo Fanav. What happens later that he's happy, that would be too late. Because we need the chalos shlichus at the time of the Maisa. And we only got it later on, so at the time of the Maisa he couldn't have served as a shliach. So we see an unbelievable chiddush. From Klachachai to Yafos, we see that if a person is fulfilling something on behalf of someone else, and later on we find out that he, the person for whom the shlichus was being implemented, was very satisfied with, he was happy, that's already considered Artsuye Artse Kameh. Even though the Artsuye Artse Kameh was before the Maisa, but even after the Maisa. How do we say post facto, right? It was post facto, post the Maisa, and yet it's valid. So here too, when the pasuk says, and let's read the pasuk inside, Vayivyeh Yitzchak Ohela Sara Imo, Vayikach Es Rivka Vatitin Vatehilo Leisha Vayavea, it means that Yitzchak was very satisfied with this marriage, and that enough is considered like our Tzuyei Arze in order to validate the Zoch and the Onam Shalom B'fun. So again, just to summarize, we've solved a number of problems here with regard to Eliezer. First of all, we thought that it was very odd for the brachos to be recited over Erisin in this case. Where is the Erisin over here? Yitzchak is nowhere to be found. The answer has to be that Eliezer was appointed as the Shliach. So we solved that problem. Problem number two is how could Yitzchak marry a woman that he's never laid eyes on? That's against the Gemara. It's an Iser. And the answer is that Iser only applies below Efshar, but only below Efshar when he could possibly see her before the marriage. But in this case, he won't be able to see her. He's too far away. So therefore, he's allowed to marry her off. He's allowed to marry her even before he ever laid eyes upon her. That was problem number two. Then we had a technical problem in the fact that Avraham Avinu was nervous about Yitzchak going back to Aram Naharoyim, that's Lo Teshev, to return. How could it be to return when he was never there to begin with? The answer is Eliezer was there, now he's returning with Eliezer. Vis-a-vis Eliezer, that's called returning. And then we had the question, why does the pasuk itself, Arami Ovidovi, and certainly the Agodah Shel Pesach Tzei Lamad, why does it accuse Lavan of destroying Beis Yaakov? And the answer is because if Yitzhak wouldn't, if they would have succeeded in their dastardly plan and they would have murdered Eliezer, then the Gemara in Gittin establishes that Yitzhak would never have been allowed to marry anyone else. And that would have been the finito, the end of Klal Yisrael. And then we had a question, how could Eliezer serve as a shliach when we have a rule that an Eved is a Eino B'Torah is getting a Kedushin, he cannot serve as a shliach, neither for get nor for Kedushin. So that leads us to the answer to my real diskin, that Eino Chinami Avram was Meshachrer Eliezer. He gave him a get shikra, means he redeemed him from slavery. But then we have another question. How could Avram do such a thing since he was Mekayim Kol HaTorah Kula? Now he's violating a law, and the answer is for the sake of Piri V'Rivya, you're allowed to violate that law. But that only makes sense if Avram would know that Yitzhak would, that Eliezer would succeed in his misima, in his commission. How do we know he would succeed? And then if he wouldn't succeed, and she wouldn't agree to come back, then Avram Avinu freed his Eved Eliezer in vain, and that would be a violation of Allah. So the Rabbi Real Diskin says that he freed him with a Tanai, and he said, "You're only an Eved Meshuchrar if she agrees to marry Yitzchak, and for the sake of Piri V'Rivya." And finally, the last question, and perhaps the most pressing, fundamental question, is how could Avram appoint Eliezer as a shliach, and Yitzchak's not in the picture at all? Now, we don't find that in any case I can mekadesh anish on your behalf unless you appointed me as a shliach. But here Yitzchak was not involved in appointing Eliezer as a shliach. And the answer that we're offering is that our tsuye artsi kamei, that in this case we can apply the principle of zoch liyodim shalom b'fanav, because Yitzchak is thrilled with this marriage. And even though Yitzchak only revealed that fact after, post facto, after the marriage, nevertheless, the Gemara says, klach etzel yofus, in the case of Truma, that after you amafish the Truma on behalf of the Baal Bais, he, the Baal Bais, revealed his excitement about what you did, and that's enough to retroactively validate the Zoch and the other Shalom B'fanav. Yeah, Ira.
I may have missed this because I came in late, but why do you have to assume that she was Mahuras? Maybe the Erisin happened when he wasn't there, and they came, and then
right, so that's the part you missed at the beginning, that the Brisa, Masechta Kala, asks, from whence do we derive Birchas Erisin? How do we know that when you marry a woman, you're Mevarech? So the Brisa answers, it says, Vayavarchu es Rivka. And Tosus says that you interpret it thusly, that they made a blessing regarding Rivka, or on behalf of Rivka, and that was the Birchas Eirusin. So when the Brisa says Minayim le Birchas Eirusin, and we learn it from Vayvarcha es Rivka, it means, says Tosus, that's the first source on your page, that Eliezer was appointed as a shliach for Kiddushin, and the Eirusin took place when she, Rivka, received the Nizbeizov, the Nizavim, and all that. So Eliezer was not only a shliach to bring Kiddushin to Rivka on behalf of Yitzchak. Yitzchak was the Mishaleach, and Eliezer served as a shliach through Zakhan Liodim Shalom Bafanov. And to boot, we're going to have to say that Avraham Avinu was Meshachver, his Eved Eliezer, for the sake of this shlichus. And here's where Herb asks his question. He doesn't understand. How can you say that Avraham Avinu was Meshachver, his Eved, when the pasuk calls him an Ish? And why does the pasuk call him an Ish? Because I asked the question the wrong way. Sorry. How can you tell me that Avraham Avinu was Meshachrer the Eved Eliezer when it says over and over again that Eliezer is the Eved Avraham? And the answer is, according to Mariel Diske, because that Shikur was conditional, as long as and until the point that Eliezer fulfilled his shlichus and Rivka agreed to marry Yitzchak. Enoch Hinami, that shikur was held up in abeyance, and the status of Eliezer was still that of an Eved. It's only after Eliezer fulfilled his shlichus, then retroactively the shikur avodim of Avraham Avinu was validated, and therefore Eliezer was no longer an Eved. Again, how this fits in with the famous principle of Gito V'yoda Bon Kachas, right? That, you know, you can have two things that happen simultaneously. At the same moment that Eliezer clinched the shlichus, at that moment he became a Meshuchrar, and therefore he could serve as a shliach. Do you follow? It's a little bit of a vicious cycle over here, right? The circle keeps going around and around and around endlessly, because in order for Eliezer to what? In a meaningful way to serve as a shliach, the get shichur would have had to be valid, but the get shichur would only be valid if and when Eliezer would fulfill his shlichus. How could Eliezer fulfill his shlichus when he still has the status of an Eved? So you're going to have to say Gido V'yoda Bar Gachas. At the very moment that Rivka agreed to marry him off, at that moment the shichur became valid, and if Eliezer is no longer an Eved, and therefore the shlichus is a shlichus kasher. Okay, really what I prepared for today was Parshas Toldos. But I guess we'll have to leave that for Tuesday. So if you could be here Tuesday, then if you don't mind, give me back the other page on Toldos, because otherwise you're going to lose it, I'm afraid. I mean, if you promise me you won't lose it, you can hold on to it. Otherwise, I'm going to take the one on Toldos.
Is there a first page lying around somewhere?
Here's
okay then. So we'll stop here. On both sides, I wish everyone a great week.